Driving is my livelihood.
He's already dead.
I'm a good thing, Mr. Texas.
Copycat.
Misappropriation.
Welcome to Eat My Shorts, everyone. A Simpsons podcast. Woo!
It's manipulated audio.
That's very scary. And welcome to a scary episode. This is America's Notch. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to heal wounds. Hello.
Also here to love you. Irvin Castellanos. Hello. Eat My Shorts, a Texas podcast. Back again with another scary episode. Finishing out, what do we call this? Our Treehouse of Horror month?
Yeah, our little community service that we bring to our listening community, the shorties. This is our scaring month. We love to provide you with extra virility and vitality in these months as a service to your immune system and you as a whole. Because ultimately, we want to leave more on this earth than we take from it, right?
Nothing replicates more than a virus.
Repeating. Exactly yeah. Right. But you know what, folks? Like, we're both riding highs this week.
Obviously. I know.
Like, for example, we both had great interviews. I mean, you were telling me you had a good interview for, you know, we're both interviewing for vice president. But I'm happy to hear that yours went well.
You know, and I did spend a lot of my interview giving good points about the Notch, America's Notch, actually, currently in campaign season. So, you know, I was very happy to talk with them about that. It was more of a powwow. They kind of turned their body around on the chair and just stared at me and rapped with me. And it was a good time. It was a good corporate time, the business podcast.
You know, me and the boss had a good amount of conversations, me and Pickles. You know, we had sort of a round table, me and a lot of the execs, as I like to call them. Real good. I ordered food for everybody. Real classy maneuver on my part. Everybody mentioned it after I brought it up. It was really cool.
Jason's Deli's trays.
I couldn't afford Jason's Deli, so I settled for Nacho's Deli. I didn't tell them that.
Just a deli?
Yeah.
Backward E?
You know, folks, it's difficult to remember which way the letters go sometimes.
I'm getting ahead of myself here with the episode that we covered, but that's all I think about when I see that particular movie is the lovable young children and the way that they spell letters.
Just like on a lemonade stand, right?
Yeah, you accidentally put the money sign instead of the cent sign, and then the adults are like, oh, I guess I'll give you $25.
Yeah, it's like, oh, how endearing. Like, we got to support this. Like, otherwise they would become destitute, live on the streets. We would love to introduce you to the episode we're covering today. You will forever know it as Treehouse of Horror Episode 31. Or what, like Issue 31.
The lightning light.
Oh my gosh, that is some explosive lightning.
Yeah. Body lightning.
Yeah, that was intense. All right, this is a wild one. We live tweeted it and we're covering it right now, goddammit. Would you like some stats, everybody and everybody else?
Let's hear the fucking stats.
And you're going to do a flip right now on camera when you hear this. This is episode number 688. Wow. Season 32, episode 4, original air date, fucking November whatever, When did this air?
November 1st, 2020.
Wow. Okay. This is production code ZABF17. This is written by Julia Prescott and directed by Stephen Dean Moore. Hey, that's interesting. Don't you think that's interesting?
Hey, like America's Notch mentioned, this is something that we've been building up to on Eat My Shorts, a Texas podcast, for several weeks. We're saying we're going to cover the newest episode we've ever covered, literally days ago aired. Kind of new territory for us.
Okay, so right off the bat, right out the gate, for me, like, call me Mark Maron, lock the gates. It's crazy to me, and not crazy, but I'm excited to see this. Julia Prescott, co-host of the famous Simpsons podcast that we aspire to be one day. Yeah, that was cool to see because we love that show, and I guess she's a writer on this show. Wow. And we also
very cool.
We always talk about being writers on The Simpsons because of our wonderful love of the show.
Love of the show shaped our comedic minds and the way that we fucking interpret the world as it happens all around us at all times. So yeah, it's kind of like living the dream, right? It's pretty crazy. Like we talked about it. We were just talking about it as a gimmick. I mean, but obviously that would be insane to do. So it's really cool to see that someone actually got to do that.
Damn, let's get on it. I can start like working on a storyboarding portfolio, so maybe I can get up on a storyboarder gig there.
Yeah, I've got some particular story pitches I want to do. Maybe some sort of light rail.
Oh, shit. Springfield is getting a monorail again, and I'm the conductor.
This is a Texas podcast. This is literally, we just voted for that in Austin. Vote for Prop A.
I'll be a... what is that? I was going to say Muni, but that's San Francisco. The Metro. I'll be an Austin Metro driver out here.
Austin Metro head? You're going to look like a fucking Dark Helmet in Spaceballs. Wasn't that like the Homer outfit?
He did sort of have like a Blade Runner-y sort of outfit going on.
Yeah.
Hey, but like, I mean, that's futuristic, right? Like, that's pretty, that's the kind of shit that we always just associate with the future anyway.
This is what we assumed it would be like to cover an episode of season 33. I thought we were going to do this in like 2030. No, 2040.
No, we're doing it right now. And this is for the shorties and also our super friends on Patreon. You know, we like to kind of like challenge ourselves because it's like when you're outside of your comfort zone, that's when you truly grow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you find yourself and, you know, it's a good experience. Like we were just talking about this, like we actually sat down and like really paid attention because it's so fresh on our minds. We obviously watched it together and live tweeted it.
Oh, yeah.
But just sitting down and like paying attention to all the little nuances and little stuff is really good. You can't rely on your 200 times of watching it in syndication growing up.
Well, although this episode did draw on the shit that we've seen during our stuff that we've seen for 200 times in syndication, there was some new stuff. And you know, this episode caught me by surprise multiple times, I guess mostly later on, in the later segments.
Okay.
But it was fun because we covered this on an earlier Simpsons news segment. The opening bit with the election. I mean, that was fun to see the first time because we've seen them like parody the election in recent years in little segments. I feel like this one hit a lot harder than those ones.
I don't think I realized that it was a part of the Treehouse of Horror when you first showed it to me. I thought it was like, you know, like a digital short or something that they did and put up on their social channels. But I didn't realize that it was going to be a part of the show. So it was really cool to see that was the pre-show intro. The old Jewish man is in charge at that particular gymnasium.
Chief Wiggum was describing them as like drugged up octogenarians or something.
Funny voter and suppression joke with the 12 forms of ID needed.
For Democrats only, though.
Yeah. I don't know if I even have that many IDs. I think I only have 9.
Nah, I think you got to have either like a hunting license or a fishing license to push you over the edge.
Automatically gets you in as a fucking concealed handgun license. That's a super ID.
You know what I learned? In Texas, you can show a fishing license, but you cannot vote with a student ID.
Also in Texas, you can buy a gun even if you have a felony, as long as they ask you if you don't have a felony and you say no.
Wow.
there won't be any further inquisition into it.
Don't they do a background check and they find out that I'm mentally ill?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think they only check to see if you voted blue.
Folks, we do what we can do here, all right? Toy Gory. What a wonderful segment. Hey, it took me a while to figure this out, but this was a parody of Toy Story.
Your first notes on your show prep was like, these animation clouds were very distinct and beautiful.
Yeah, computer.
What is the reference?
I liked it. The animation on this was great. This is what I noticed less the first time I watched it and more so in the rewatching. What great animation.
The animation, very Lego-y, if you've seen like the Lego Simpsons toys. I like that they didn't go the old 3D way, which is the way that they would do, like, what they do, 3D Homer, and then, like, all, like, the subsequent video games kind of had that design.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoyed this type of 3D, if I guess is the way I would call it. But it looked more like the little Legos.
Well, I mean, everything was, like, you know, I mean, there was
bubbly. I like
curvature to everything. It was not blocky, but the thing I appreciated about this in comparison to like the Treehouse of Horror 6 or 7 or whatever it was with 3D Homer was that computer technology has advanced so far since then. So everything looks that much more real, like the textures on everything. It made it all super like, I don't know, believable, you know. Like,
yeah,
when Homer would
go into that dimension.
Yeah, like just like the texture of the street, when Bart was like applying the sand, the electric sander to the doll's head and destroying it, like you see so much texture and
it felt like he was really sanding wood down, right? Or whatever it was doing, whatever kind of material that was. It just looked very, I don't know. Detail is the best way I could describe it in my tiny human brain.
Folks, listen, we use words to communicate with each other. And as long as the intent is there, then that's really what it's all about.
On second watch, I did notice the Bart toys. I saw Funzo in there. And I think I saw like a Mr. Fantastic / like Flanders looking one that was stretchy. He looked like a lot of the Flanders memes I've seen.
Oh, yeah. The Stretch Armstrong with the overextended arms, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah, that was very Flanders-y. It was like without the sensor pixelation, so it was a little bit different for me to see.
It looked more clear.
Yeah.
As to what it was.
Alarmingly clear. I also appreciated, I think we talked about it in the last week's episode, but, you know, like, Treehouse of Horror, it's fun to see a little segment of the Treehouse, for Christ's sake. This is what makes it happen. This is where it all started.
What was the first Treehouse of Horror? Were they telling the scary stories?
Yeah, I think
it
was...
they were all taking turns, right?
It was Bart and... I think it was just Bart and Lisa, maybe Bart, Lisa, and Milhouse.
And Homer was like listening in underneath, right? And then he got all scared.
Yeah, he was meddling.
He was trying to eat their candy.
Eavesdropping. I hadn't seen a Treehouse of Horror in the Treehouse in, I don't know, it's been a while. But I've missed a lot of these Treehouse of Horror episodes, really, lately.
Made me want a treehouse.
Did you ever have one? That was super aspirational.
Exactly right for me as well. I always had a house with a tree and then a lot of just random wood everywhere. And then I think in my little 8-year-old brain, I wanted to build one. But it never got to the point where I actually tried it. I'm sure like the architecture and the engineering just wouldn't be there. It would definitely fall apart.
Well, yeah, if you got to build it yourself, that's harrowing. You know, I barely know how to nail shit together now as an adult, as a 21-year-old.
I know. It's like, which way does this go in?
Very complicated. Yeah. Can't like we just get this prefabricated? Like, doesn't IKEA sell some tree houses?
Yeah, please. You can go to IKEA to get a tree.
Make it easy for me, please.
It's all still like in 100 pieces, though, and you have to build it in together.
Yeah, it takes a while. Hey, I like building that stuff, though.
Yeah.
For some reason, that's like a zen thing for me is like building furniture. I don't know why.
And puzzles, right? You were doing puzzles earlier.
Yeah, I know. I like that shit. I like building stuff.
That's a good thing.
You know, I just like to build community and all that kind of stuff, folks.
Yeah. The doll. Okay, he got a. We had the whole recap of him playing with the toys, and he was secretly like saying goodbye to them or whatever, but pretty much killing all of them or gruesomely injuring them. And then his reward was receiving a brand new, beautiful Radioactive Man toy.
Hey, yeah, and this looked like it was a lot more money than the rest of the shit that he was getting rid of. The stuff he used to love that he hated. And it was just like depriving future children of having fun with this stuff.
I guess it does fit the Toy Story plot line of the Buzz Lightyear coming in and being like a brand new badass toy, right? That all the other toys are like, well, we can't do what he does.
And the bad boy Sid is very similar to Bart and was wearing a Jimbo shirt in the movie, by the way.
Played by Jimbo Jones. And he had to cut his hair for that role.
And you know, it's interesting because with that kind of versatility, you know, turning from 2D into 3D, I'm surprised we didn't see like anything beyond that from Jimbo. Just these two roles.
Yeah. Just got caught in the time warp saying, I'm me, over and over.
Well, Simpsons recognize the value, and that's why they revisited it here.
Okay, so we saw the Radioactive Man, I guess, objectifying Malibu Stacy's headless doll corpse. And yeah. I guess she caught him staring at her. Not her eyes.
Bart was enjoying this toy. He wasn't destroying it like he was with all his other toys initially. I appreciated how he was like he did salvage his Krusty doll. That was something that had not been destroyed, and I think I don't know if I've ever heard this before, but it was fun when Bart was playing with his Krusty doll and his Radioactive Man doll. Like he was doing the Krusty voice. I don't think I've ever heard Bart doing like his Krusty impression before.
It was cool. It was like watching a little boy play with his toys and like use his imagination.
Well, after all these years, we get to hear what Bart would sound like if he's doing a Krusty voice.
And we'll put that audio in here.
Hey, Radioactive Man, there's a bomb in that safe, and you're the only one who can disarm it. Piece of cake. Uranium cake.
Bart, you have to see this. They just dumped some mail on the street, and there's mail blowing everywhere.
Inside's melting. Decals loosening. I will have my Reaper.
Homer, always put a paper towel over. It's wine time.
I don't remember what it sounded like. Was it a good Krusty? Was it coarse?
Yeah.
Like,
it was pretty good.
So the Krusty doll, I guess, told Radioactive Man about the nefarious things that have been going on.
Yeah, Bart being a bad boy. It takes about maybe 30 seconds until it pays off on Radioactive Man himself because Bart puts him in the microwave and he passes away super
radiation
fast.
Radiation poisoning.
Hey, the microwave explodes on Marge.
Dude, and I was like, is that blood? But it's just Radioactive Man's red plastic.
Marge, she's detaching from it. Nobody is really involved in this. It's just a Bart thing. It's a Bart thing. Well, actually, you know what? It's a Milhouse thing, too.
Yeah, I was going to say Milhouse's dog toy ran away from him.
Yeah.
Even the real dog.
What is this like? I don't think they've – maybe they have done this in The Simpsons, that Gulliver's Travels where all those little tiny people pin down Gulliver the guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this – I mean, I feel like I've seen this on The Simpsons before, but essentially, you know, the toys pin him down and take him to the treehouse and –
I definitely think they have done that, but I can't remember what character it was with. I think it may have been Bart or Homer.
I think it was Big Homer. It was one of those, like, go back in time, tall tales, Simpsons tall tales or something like that, you know?
Simpsons tall tales where he was, like, resurrected Jesus or whatever.
Yeah, there you go. A little blasphemous, folks. Maybe we can, like, get that canceled like the Michael Jackson episode. We can give it a shot.
We can give it a shot, please. The Evangelical Podcast.
Please, folks.
The monkey was fucking Radioactive Man. I guess that was a cool little tagline because he had to give his toys to the or his toys. What do you call that?
The remains.
Yeah, his remains.
Oh yeah, and Krusty was initially judgmental about. And you know, this was interesting. I wrote this. I said, "Love is love?" Question mark. Question mark. Question mark.
Yeah.
Because it's like they're
question mark.
It's like they're doing like the Republicans. They're equating homosexuality with bestiality or something like that. Because love is love. You're going to equate that with bestiality.
Mm-hmm. They were doing the whole like addition of like additional alphabet letters.
Yeah.
To the thing.
Yeah. So is the joke that Krusty is like a bigoted conservative? Who knows, folks? But
I mean, I think that's been the joke, right? Was he in the he wasn't in the Republican Party. That was always run by Dracula. But I'm sure as like a rich entertainer.
It's true. A total hypocrite. I wouldn't put it past Krusty. I mean, he is like a bad person. That's been established.
That's why we appreciate it when the box slapped him around.
Yeah. Karma. Yeah, everybody, basically all the toys murder Bart. It was very gruesome. Malibu Stacy, Dr. Malibu Stacy, puts a scalpel into his brain. And he passes away.
Whoa. Who taxidermied him? I guess the toys?
Yeah, maybe one of like the teddy bear put the stuffing inside of Bart or something. I don't know.
So they just use like all the old toy body parts to create this new toy Bart.
Yeah, pull-string Bart. He says nice things about his parents, which it's tragic to his parents because they know it's not him.
They made Bart bland on my show notes.
He was willing to watch Lisa's television shows. It's just nothing that Bart represents.
You want to watch.
You know what?
I just wrote in quotation marks, sorry, hello, mother dear, because it's like he was giving off that vibe.
Yeah, the same sort of complete empty vacancy. It was sad. I mean, Marge and Homer were crying. You know what? I noticed that this was the old Dr. Hibbert voice. They didn't change shit for this one. I thought only POCs were going to do POC character voices on The Simpsons from now on.
You were telling me, you were promising me that this was the change that was made.
Yeah, we vowed to follow this.
Promise.
It didn't pay off here. They really let us down. And at The Simpsons, let them know your disappointment.
However, if you liked it, let them know at Eat My Shorts Pod.
Yeah, if you liked, like, hey, continue using Harry Shearer as Dr. Hibbert. I mean, I don't advocate for that, but let them know your opinion.
It's a good message as we approach the holidays.
Don't buy toys.
Yeah, buy Eat My Shorts merch.
Oh, yeah, that's true, folks. So if you want to direct your web browsers and force the browser to do a computer search, right, you can find some new Eat My Shorts merch all over the web. TJ Zaymart, Etsy, the Nacho Nova Etsy shop, all over the place, folks. Heading out to you right before the holidays. Give it to the people you love to ensure that they continue to love you.
If you don't wear clothes, buy one for the stuffed bear you're going to give your kids. Wear a little Eat My Shorts t-shirt.
Or yeah, if you're expecting, we got onesies for the little youngster, the newborn. We got masks, you know, if you want to care about your fellow people around you. It's just so much good shit, folks.
Behold!
Hey, speaking of good shit, we're lucky because we're like kind of advertising right when we're going to do an advertising break.
Prepaid our advertising.
Very smooth transition. It's not like we're not professionals. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is a professionals podcast.
Eat My Shorts.
All right, folks, stick around. This is just a brief commercial. This is not like going to last endlessly. We're going to be right back, okay?
Hey, hey! Now a word from my God, our sponsor.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Thank you, Dora!
Bowler's thumb, pot belly, pea brain. Let's operate.
This is not good.
It's Operation, where Homer will tell you just how well you're doing. Operation The Simpsons Edition. Batteries not included.
No. Top Cat, the most effectual Top Cat.
Welcome back.
I love it to see your utopia.
Yes, he's a chief, he's a king, but above everything,
I get worse before I get better.
Let's go crazy Broadway style!
Still GGing. Hello, everybody. This is still Eat My Shorts. This is still America's Notch. Hello.
Hello. Erin Castellanos back here on the Tech Podcast, Eat My Shorts.
Damn. Sorry, that was so loud. It shows you the Pussycats.
The Pussycats. Wait. Yes.
Well, yeah, because like
actual next song to play.
Because we went straight from Top Cat into Josie and the Pussycats, of course.
Both owned by Hanna-Barbera.
Exactly right, and both spoofed in this particular segment.
Yes.
This look, we know what we're doing.
The multiverse segment. I don't even know the name of the fucking.
Very close. Without knowing it and without not knowing. This is Into the Homerverse.
Very good, very good. Oh, now I get it. They were ripping off Into the Spider-Verse.
Did you ever watch that? Is it like that?
I just watched it maybe a month ago. I waited a couple years. It came out a couple years ago. Yeah, basically it was, well, let's set up the scene first.
Yeah. Oh, I was me set up the scene.
Yeah, let me set up the scene. Hey, sometimes you just feel it. It's like intuition. It's like, okay, let me pass this on.
Yeah.
All I was gonna say is, yeah, the Into the Spider-Verse is a animated Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. Although I think it was actually just made by Sony, so it's not a part of that world that they created. But it took. You know how in comic books there will be a shitload of different runs of the same character.
Yeah.
Because there's a different writer or a different interpretation, just a way to make more money, right?
Yeah, he's got a new hat.
Yeah, he's got a new dress. So I took all like the different versions of Spider-Man that have been popular and put them into one movie, and they all somehow meet each other, interact with each other, because the idea is they all exist in a different dimension or whatever, and then, you know, hijinks, and then they're all together.
This reminded me, I mean, just because maybe we had seen it so recently. But, like, you know, the segment from, oh, Jesus, I even forget what the hell episode it was. But where they're parodying Back to the Future, you know, and Homer goes back in time to find different versions of himself.
Yeah, the different Homers.
This is very similar to that, but just it's like crazier versions of Homer, you know, like Homer in different dimensions.
Yes, exactly. So I guess all the ones in the one you mentioned were just Homers that could exist on this particular Earth.
Throughout history.
And then this other dimension introduced like crazy shit or the types of Homers that would be in just random things.
And the gateway from the reality to the different universes is the quote-unquote candy machine in the nuclear power plant. Homer ate up all the candy and he needs to get more candy for the trick-or-treaters and he sees this candy, what do you call it, snack machine in a weird room.
Who amongst us hasn't gorged all the Halloween candy? First of all, I really enjoyed that sequence of events of him eating candy, simultaneously getting really sick from it, I think going to the hospital, coming back, eating more candy, and then eventually I think he started eating a turkey. And I couldn't tell if it had candy inside of it or if he just started eating other food. But I love Homer eating sequences. It was a good one.
Oh, yeah. They put it to classical music. I bet they had it set to like a rock and roll song or like a Halloween song. But Al Jean came in and he's like, no, it has to be classical music. That's the only kind of music that I can boogie woogie to.
It was set to like, yeah, it's really cool modern music.
It was an Al Jean request. Demand, I bet.
Oh shit!
But we love it. We appreciate that it's there, and it helps us learn and grow.
Listen, I haven't been to Grackle Studio in a minute, just because of the social distancing and, you know, the staying away. Do new vending machines now take currency via USB? I guess they can do Apple Pay and like swiping of things, but now can you? I've never seen a USB one.
I don't think I've either.
Company maybe.
Maybe if you're like the technician or the person who has to come and like fix it or something.
Yeah. You know? So you can plug in your four songs. It's a 16 megabyte USB.
Yeah. Or maybe if you like, you need to plug in and charge your phone or something like that. It's pretty useful.
That's what we would use it for. I'm constantly on 1% battery. I go into the break room to charge my phone.
You know, it helps out, folks. I mean, in this day and age, that would be like, that would encourage me to buy more snacks, honestly.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I would do that. If the price is like, oh, yeah, you could charge, but buy, like, you know, $5 candy bar.
Yeah, it's plugged in anyway, right?
I did that in elementary school when I would buy those, you know, box of chocolates, and then I would eat them all. And then I'd just have to charge myself.
Yeah, you're on the hook, right?
They were really good. Were they? It was called the world's best chocolate or something. Oh, did you ever sell those? Did you ever go door to door? Because they made us sell things as children.
Isn't that fucked up? Yeah, I think it was exactly the same thing. World's best chocolate, and I had no pleasure doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went door to door. I'm from a divorced house, and I would take the goddamn box of chocolates to my mother's on the weekend, and then go in that neighborhood and sell them in that neighborhood too. You know.
Double grifting.
Yeah, I had no pleasure. I mean, I sold the damn candies, but for what?
Why did we do that? To get, like, the chance to buy, like, a $42 pretzel bag from, like, their prizes? Or, like, what would we get?
You know, I think for me it was, like, a pizza party where the teacher ordered two pizzas after the 30 kids sold $100 worth
the
of chocolate.
Pizza cutter to turn, like, one slice into, like, six slices.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, seriously. Because we're all babies and nobody cares. Yeah. But it's like, wow, I fucking sold chocolate for a month and I got a slice of pizza in school.
And you dip your pizza into your cup of Coca-Cola Classic.
You know what? If you want to get crazy. But I heard some people, if you do that, it grows a little Coca-Cola tree in your stomach. So you got to be careful.
You got to be careful.
Seriously.
How are you going to pluck the Coca-Cola cans that fall off the tree?
Yeah, not inside your stomach, folks.
This is, you're talking about the fucking candy machine USB thing that opened the dimension for Homer, yeah, for other Homers.
I mean, it's hard to tell what happened in this episode. Homer hits the machine, and all the Homers come out, and they wreak havoc on his reality, and that's the whole episode.
Fucking 8-bit Homer, yeah, the Disney Princess Homer, Homer Barbera. I didn't get the anime reference.
I didn't get that either, and I wrote. This is my note. Don't get the anime references. That's my note. Look,
maybe one of our listeners can fucking tell us.
Show you don't get the anime references.
Yeah. There's a question mark too.
And directly underneath that, it's who is this for? That's my note.
Which Simpsons fan?
Yeah, like
the intersection of, like, it's called manga, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I get that there's probably a lot of anime heads that watch The Simpsons, but, like, I don't know what specific thing they're referencing, and maybe maybe an anime head.
Fine, you know.
Yeah, but I just don't understand the joy. Like, I get, like, it's cool. Oh, yeah, it's a movie reference to something, like The Simpsons is doing a movie reference, but, I mean, I don't know. Come on, is this really that fun?
I like that the 8-bit Homer was a Mario reference, and I didn't get that part until later when we saw Burns turn into his evil counterpart.
I got it when the 8-bit Homer jumped up on the kitchen table and, like, produced donuts for everybody to eat. All the different Homers.
Like little toys, like little coins or whatever.
Like the Disney Princess Homer was eating a donut. The real Homer was eating a donut.
Everybody was eating.
Yeah, but they all get into a fight at the power plant because Lisa said, according to the law of circular storytelling, they all have to go back to the machine and go back to their original dimensions because everything is too disruptive. So they do it,
they were killing the Krusty Burger supply, right?
Krusty Burger supply?
Well, like, I think that all the Homers were just eating everything up, so, like, they had to get, like, different meat.
Oh, shit.
their supply, and I think they were going to make Gil into a human ground beef concoction.
That's true.
I never believed them in this episode.
Gil dies multiple times in this episode. I think this is the first.
He's like the new Mole Man.
Yeah, seriously. He dies. There's a chimera that goes into the Krusty Burger to get ground up into meat. So, yeah, I mean, the real world is suffering because of all these different Homers. But that means those other dimensions are probably doing better without these Homers.
Yeah, they're thriving. They turn into, like, the little fucking tooth universe.
Like a world without lawyers.
Marge wants to bring the Homers home.
The homies.
Multiverse fun.
Yeah, just like in the other episode with all the different Homers, how they all live with her, she is interested in just, like, kind of bringing them all home to live with her. Same thing.
Good. They should all be servicing, like, you know, like, somebody has to do the lawn. Somebody has to make the lemonade.
8-Bit Homer produces the donuts. There you go.
Yeah, out of his body.
But Mr. Burns does not allow this to happen because when they go back to the power plant, he intervenes. He says that he cannot let this happen because these extra Homers are a good source of cheap labor.
The Burns robot was kind of akin to that robot of Burns, like, running away in a really early episode with, like, a dog Smithers. Do you remember that? It was, like, a dystopian ending.
Yeah, the Bobo episode.
Bobo episode. It kind of looked like that robot. I do love that Multiverse Smithers is still just taking copious notes. It's still his role.
A lack in each one of the universes. Except the, like, the black and white Smithers was... the bots in his universe, and Burns was the lackey.
Immediately kills him.
Well, I mean, I think that's the turning table, the turning point for Mr. Burns when he realizes that the film noir Smithers is the boss in his universe, and Burns is the sidekick, and then he, you know, banishes them all back to their original dimension via that weird USB god machine device.
Yeah, film noir Homer decapitated Ned Flanders with a bullet. Which is cool to see.
Oh, shit, yeah. Before they even go back to the power plant. That was extreme.
Oh, I also just one last reference to the different characters I do have here that it says, Homer Barbera doesn't like violence or sex.
Oh, yeah. When he was...
Run away.
Huckleberry Hound, he kept exiting stage right.
How did this episode end?
I think they all go back. They all get sucked back into the goddamn machine, right?
They all get sucked back.
Oh.
But something's different at the end, like... I think Top Cat comes in.
Let's just say Mo.
Starts trying to court Snowball.
I mean, this one, I remember tweeting, I have no idea what the hell's going on here. Kind of
retweeted that. I was like, well, yeah, what is this?
Had a little bit of that experience the second time, too. But hey, what are you going to do?
It was funny, though. So the third segment, let's see. What was the point of it? Oh, it was Lisa's like Groundhog Day Final Destination merging, right? Where she keeps dying.
It's a parody of a Netflix show that my wife and I started watching that we never finished.
What's it called?
Russian Doll or something like that. It's with Natasha Lyonne from she was in Oranges Are the New Black.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that show about the oranges.
She's got red hair. She was in, American Pie. And so on.
Oh, I'm thinking of Laura from That 70s Show, who is also in Oranges Is the New Black.
Oh, yeah, she also has red hair.
Yeah. So who the fuck is the other person? Well, anyways.
But it's like that show. It's sort of the same gimmick as, all these things that were parodied in this episode. Groundhog's Day.
My notes for this scene are just literally all the different ways that she was killed.
I think I have a list. Yeah, same here. A list of all of the funny deaths that Lisa experienced that caught me off guard.
Mine goes in like a arrow order of the deaths. okay, so what do we see? Funny hand-me-down joke. She's giving all her old books to Bart, who's 2 years older than her. She's turning 9. Oh, and Krusty's at the party, and I was going to ask you if you thought that was the real Krusty, or if his regional act is still going.
Gig Krusty. You know, I would say real Krusty, because if the Simpsons animators were committed to this fake Krusty bit, they would have, the drunk, the barfly be the Krusty and have his voice, you know?
That'd be awesome.
I don't see why they...
The one with the hat, yeah.
That'd be great if in the Simpsons universe there was, a character who was the gimmick Krusty, just the fake Krusty.
He's the one that's currently continuing the Springfield role of the party Krusty.
Yeah, still, that's,
good point.
Graduate from the clown college.
Maybe Gil does it one episode.
I mean, come on. Consistency, that'd be fun to see.
Written by at Eat My Shorts Pod.
Patent pending. Yeah, please.
Yeah. Krusty at the party, and it's a theme party, and then the weird shit starts happening.
Yeah, I didn't expect it. She wishes, and this is how it starts happening, when she wishes she would die because she's so, frustrated or embarrassed or whatever. And a car fucking pops in and smashes through the wall and kills her.
Yeah. And then a comical clown comes out of it 4 seconds later.
Oh, that's true. Lord save me.
Lord, save me. I like it. I'll never not mention the wheels just rickety falling off the car as it drives in.
I personally needed this after the previous segment, which was just a bunch of exposition jammed in, you know?
You like that this is more just like funny action, like not, you know, horror, like comedy deaths, just
yeah,
kind of fast.
Sight gags, you know, just one after the other of, you know, the roof collapsing on Lisa, her vanity mirror crushing her and killing her.
Milhouse dying.
Yeah, her pushing Milhouse in front of the car that crashes into the wall instead of her.
I like that Gail needed a license. I think Selma was in the car with him.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, you got to do really well on the written part.
She killed her niece.
She didn't care. You know what I was noticing about this? Like how Marge, like Julie Kavner seems like it's harder for her to do a Marge voice. Like it.
Oh, man, I bet.
There's no change in the Patty or Selma voice. Like, this sounds just the same.
That maybe that's the one that she's just like, let me go as deep as I can.
It's like it's the same. It's like, oh, I've been preparing for this my whole life.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was sad. She passed away, and Milhouse passed away. Ralph passed away. They eventually because Nelson starts kind of helping Lisa out. Like, he's on to this being some sort of weird. Groundhog's Day universe as well. So he helps Ralph pass away.
Kills him by the wood. Nelson dies by the wood chipper and then she falls into it.
Well, yeah, he's not really good at helping her, right? Like she's blowing out her birthday cake candles in the backyard and she catches on fire and he does too.
I think like a very Al Bundy Married with Children situation, like an air conditioner fell on top of them.
Yeah. a knife. I think she blows the. She hits the table, and a kitchen knife flies off the table and stabs her in the forehead.
And then somehow stabs Nelson too. Maybe it's a separate knife.
Or maybe I'm wrong, and it just hit Nelson.
It hit both. I mean, she died too, for sure. The bit driving by the or biking by the church was funny on their way to the comic book guy.
Oh yeah, because they were looking for somebody who has the answer. Can help
yeah,
him out with this
someone
weird
who
shit.
Understands this kind of situation.
Keep going. I had a hard time. You know, something I learned during this episode, because I really love this little psych gag right here when they're talking about the comic book guy and he shows them about the cover of World of Lamest Comics where it's Superman and Batman like kind of floating through the sky with each other. I tried doing screenshots of this because I thought it was such a good cover, but. Hulu doesn't let you take screenshots. Did you know that?
It just turns black, right?
Yeah.
Disney Plus does the same thing.
That's
because I wanted to do screenshots like we do with Frankiac.
Yeah.
It's like not possible. It's impossible.
I didn't get the resolution to this. Like, why do they determine that they have to kill Gil?
Because I guess he started it all by killing them through the party.
Oh.
So they wanted to kill him earlier on so that he doesn't start affecting other shit. I'm assuming he killed Nelson too, that means. but he gets killed by a brick, which is great.
Oh, yeah, that was gruesome. Hey, but good thing Lisa's good with angles. Like a person who's good at pool. Like your boy, the Notch.
What kind of pool?
Swimming pool, pocket pool.
All the pools.
This is the segment that ends with Ralph.
Pokemon pool to the pole, huh?
This episode
aired a couple of days ago. It's still crazy to me that we're like even covering it.
But it was fun. I mean, I had a good time watching this. It was fun to be able to, after the live tweet sesh, you know, to come back and rewatch it and enjoy it like a regular Joe Sixpack viewer. Or
it
Jane.
Was cool to see Lisa take the focal point on it too. You didn't really get any Bart or Homer in it.
Oh, and this last one, yeah.
Yeah.
And she turned 9, even though this is not canon, but she did eventually turn 9. I don't think we've ever seen that before.
That's never happened. We've fast-forwarded to, like, future ages, but never 9.
Yeah, and it's not canon. Like, I think they said that right at the beginning of the episode. Like, beware, this is not canon. So she'll probably go back to being 8.
Canon.
But
canon.
I mean, that makes me wonder if they've ever had an episode where Bart turns 11. Probably. I don't know.
We need a good. We're getting into it, folks. During our little pandemic rewatches, we're starting to watch a lot of weird, wild shit.
Yeah.
That's been out of our universe.
Season three, you know, we had some plans, but it's taking us to some weird new places.
Newer episodes.
Yeah. You know, folks, we're just like, we love to do the kind of archival work for you, you know?
Yes. True historians.
So for this one, I think I don't really have a, what do you call it, a rating prepared, but I'm going to have to come up with one in a moment.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 98 homers, and
whoa,
specifically 98 because of the multiverse reference and the fact that this is episode 98 of Eat My Shorts, The Simpsons Podcast.
Damn, that's true. Okay. Hopefully, and you know, we have a lot going on this season. We have episode 100 coming up. A lot of cool surprises in store, folks. Please stick around. People on our Patreon page who support the show will find out some of these cool things coming down the pipe before everybody else. Hey, if you want to support the show on Patreon, please do so. Patreon.com/EatMyShortsPod. A lot of cool stuff there. And what I would say is that episode 100 will be better than cumulatively all of the episodes we've done put together. this is what I told the our boss in the interview.
You put it in writing.
I got to deliver.
My career is riding on this.
Seriously, I got a lot of work to do. So for this episode, I would say I am going to give this, oh Jesus, let me go ahead and come up with, I would say 10 cinder blocks, 10 out of 10, because it's, you know, it's rock solid episode, folks.
10 out of 10, would rate again.
Now, we do plan to do more wild shit coming up, so thank you, Irwin. Thank you, Shorties. Please stay tuned and keep watching the skis. Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, and you could like check us out on social media at Eat My Shorts Pod, you know, wherever you are.
Yeah, check out our crazy Simpsons-related content at Eat My Shorts Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Eat my shorts.
Yum.
Heavens to Marchetroid. Exit stage right.